so great to see all of you tonight. Really great to see you all. Some of you I'm not familiar with. My name is Zach. Super happy you're here. Super happy. I have the privilege of just looking at God's word tonight with us. And this is part two of our series for Christmas, Something for Everyone. Something for Everyone. And they've given me the privilege of speaking about peace. And I don't know why they gave that to the dude with three little kids, with one on the way. Thank you. Yes. I don't even know what peace is, you guys. Man, I think it's that millisecond before my head hits the pillow and I'm out. Peace. Do we know what it is? Do we have it? Do we have it? What even is peace? What is it? I looked up the definition of peace, and the first thing that came up, it was pretty weak. It said that the definition of peace is the freedom of disturbance, which is tranquility. Number two, it was a state or period which there is no war or war has ended. These definitions, they're not going to cut it for us tonight. These definitions, they're not going to cut it for us tonight. To truly understand what peace is, we need to look at what God says about peace. Before we get into it, I'm going to pray for us and we'll continue. Father, just thank you for this opportunity to gather. Lord, I just need you in this time, God. I don't have anything to offer but you, yourself, and your word here tonight, Father. We ask that you would be here in a powerful way, God, and touch the hearts and minds of everyone you've called to be here tonight. We just welcome you in this place in Jesus' name. Amen. Yeah. Amen. So what does God say about peace? Well, all through the Old Testament, the word for peace they used was, of course, shalom. Shalom, okay? And if we were Jewish, we would say to each other, shalom. Akelem, okay? And you would respond, Alekum Shalom. Can you try that? Alekum Shalom. You really got to make sure your lach is really dialed in for that, right? Alekum Shalom, it means peace be upon you. Many Jewish people for thousands of years have been saying that to each other. And the deep meaning of shalom is a deep meaning that ultimately means everything is right with God. We are in right relationship with God. We are in harmony with God. And we have been reconciled to God. And so when they say shalom to each other, it's not just like, I hope you didn't have any conflict today. I hope that you're feeling tranquil today. It's like, hello, on a deep level, there is peace. And we celebrate that and we say that to each other. And it's such a beautiful thing as we're going to dig into that a little bit tonight. I want to start by saying this, that we will never experience any other kind of true and lasting peace other than God's peace. And we're going to look at why that is tonight, okay? This word shalom, it's actually derived from the root word shalom, okay? Now listen to this. This is so cool. Shalom describes something without cracks or gaps or missing parts. Isn't that so awesome that the true meaning of peace is an object or a person who once had cracks, gaps, or missing parts but is now made whole, but is now made complete? What a beautiful thing that is. The thing that God has taken and restored all of its cracks, gaps, and missing parts. We're just going to jump right into it today, you guys. If you are feeling today like you have cracks and gaps or a missing piece in your life, only a relationship with Jesus Christ is going to fix that. That is the only thing that is going to fix that. It's the only thing on this planet that can, you know, let's be honest, okay? We live in a world that we all have cracks and gaps and missing pieces. Mm-hmm. And the world doesn't offer anything that truly fixes us. They offer things that we smear in here and try to cover up our true condition or what we're really like. But man, a beautiful thing about the Lord Jesus is that he doesn't just fill these cracks and gaps. He gives us new life. He gives us new life. And we're going to look at the truth about this, because there is nothing on this planet aside from him that's going to fix us. Okay, there's no man-made thing. There's no worldly wisdom. And there's no pleasure on this earth that will even come close to fixing that, to fulfilling us in this way. And three things for us tonight that I believe are going to do that for us, and all the things that we get into is, first off, is that we need a right relationship with God. We need a right relationship to God. And this is the key here. It must be a sincere work. It must be a sincere approach. Because what's so interesting about us and these cracks that we have is that these cracks in us, they run so deep and they're so profound that only the love of our Heavenly Father can reach them. And we see this in his word here. I have a picture of a cracked pot, okay? An ancient cracked pot here. Many of you have heard this story, I'm sure, but in ancient times, artisans made beautiful pottery that took them countless hours. But sometimes, man, they would crack. They would crack, and instead of throwing the whole thing away, they would carefully melt down wax and they'd fill the cracks, and they'd still try to sell them, telling people, they were still perfect. Man, how much can we relate to that, that we fill in our cracks and we try to sell people that we're perfect, right? But the truth was that they were cracked. They were still broken. And people got wise over time and they started to hold these objects up at the sun. And then the truth about their condition was revealed. The truth about the vessel's condition were revealed. And the merchants, they would have to advertise that these vessels, these objects were without wax. They were sincere vessels. They were perfect. They weren't broken. Okay? And the Latin word for that is sincera. Sincera, okay? And of course, it means for us sincere. It means honest, genuine. And in scripture, it talks about that being applicable to our character, but I believe it also applies to how we connect with God in a sincere way, in an honest way, in a genuine way. The way to a right relationship with God and peace is to stop pretending we're perfect. Like step one, stop pretending we're perfect, acknowledging that we have cracks, that we're broken, and you'll see when we hold our lives up to the light of God's word, man, our true condition is revealed. Our true condition is revealed, and even now he sees us in our true condition. There's no hiding from him, which is a comforting thing as well. The good news is that God says that he opposes the proud, but he gives grace to the humble. He gives grace to those who are lowly, who are poor in spirit. He gives grace to those who approach him in a sincere, honest, genuine way. It's the way to connect with him. To come to God, we really must meet him in this sincere way, in that place where it's just him and there's nothing left to hide. And when we approach him this way, man, we just get to that point in our life where, you know, there's no one left to impress but him. I don't want to impress anybody else. I've come to the end of myself. I just want him. He's the one we want to see. We find that in doing that our sins are washed away. And man, our weaknesses, it goes to show how gloriously powerful Jesus is at changing lives. You know, having a relationship with Jesus, you know, it's so awesome. It doesn't just fill our cracks with like smiles and coffees and maple cookies. Okay, those are all great things. Those are three of my favorite things, as a matter of fact, okay? That's not what happens, okay? The God of all creation completely reworks our lives into something beautiful. I want to show you one of my favorite verses from Isaiah 64, 8. And it talks about God being a creator and us in his hands. And he says, "And yet, O Lord, you are our Father. We are the clay and you are the potter. We are all formed by your hand." You know something, when we come to the Lord and we have a right relationship with him, he doesn't just fill in our cracks. He puts us back up on that wheel and he continues to make us whole again. He spins us and he shapes us and he molds us with his loving care and he makes us whole. And that's where we experience that peace, that shalom, that there's just no more cracks, no more missing pieces. It's that relationship with him that makes us whole. It's the relationship with him that gives us that peace, that shalom, that completeness, that fulfillment. And so that would be kind of step one, you know, but the truth is, and many of us have been to that place and we've come to know the Lord and man, life happens. And the truth is that we are just these fragile clay pots. And you know something, that we still can crack and we still can break. And it's so important that we continue on in this relationship with Jesus, that he keeps us up on that wheel. He keeps making us whole and fulfilling us. He keeps doing that work. And the result of that is something called harmony with God. Harmony with God. And that's the second thing I want to talk to us about tonight. After we've come to him in that sincere way and had a right relationship with him, man, there's so much more to go. There's so much life to live. And we want to live in harmony with God. And the truth is, to better understand this peace we're talking about, we have to better understand God himself. Because, man, as we come to know him more, we have such a greater understanding of this peace. 2 Thessalonians 3:16, it says, "Now may the Lord of peace himself give you his peace at all times and in every situation. The Lord be with you all." It says there that God himself, he's the source of all peace. He's the source of this peace, not just church. Right? It's not, church is not the source of peace. It's God himself that is the source of peace. Going to him ourselves is where we find it. And that's important to know because once we have a relationship with him, like I said, life continues to happen. The ups and downs, man, conflicts arise. Conflicts is usually the way we lose our peace. And man, there's conflict all around us. There's conflict everywhere you go. There's conflict in so many things that we hear. And man, it's easy that it just drains us of our peace, you know? Last week, Mark ended with 2 Chronicles, that wonderful verse about we don't know what to do, but our eyes are on you. Our eyes are on you. And there's a similar verse in Isaiah 26, and I'm sure you've heard it. We'll look at it in a minute, but it says that you keep in perfect peace whose eyes are kept on you. It's a very similar verse, and it's truly the key to all of this. Because the truth is that conflict is not going to end on this side of eternity. We will always have conflict here. And God gives us the tools in his word on how to live in the midst of that. So this Isaiah 26 verse, you know, is a beautiful verse. It makes you sound great. Like, okay, I'll keep my eyes fixed on him. Okay, I got it. But to really properly understand this verse, man, you really have to think about what's going on behind the scenes. You know, this verse, of course, it's speaking to Israel at the time. And let me tell you something about Israel. If there's a people who know conflict, it's them. It's them. They have fought countless battles. Countless battles. David, he fought in 66 battles in his lifetime alone. Okay? This nation is always fighting. They've always had people trying to wipe them out, even until today. They fight with each other so much as well. Their nation even split into two kingdoms. The north and the south in 930 BC after the death of Solomon, everything just fell apart even more. a great king named Hezekiah tried to bring them back together and unite them, but he couldn't fully do it. There was too much conflict. Then there was the exile to Babylon, and they were so scattered, they were so broken down, they never recovered as a nation. Well, except there was one more time. Do you know when that was? In 1948, just like God said they would. How cool is that? But during Isaiah 26, man, Israel was a mess, okay? There was a looming threat of the Assyrians that they were going to come down and destroy them. They were all fighting with each other. They had political unrest. They had these religious reforms taking place, trying to straighten people out. But the real heart of the issue was that all of this was happening because that they were worshiping other gods. Their spiritual life was all convoluted with idols and immorality. And that's why their nation was a mess. And they had no harmony with God. They had no peace. But God, as usual, he made a way. And he raised up Isaiah and King Hezekiah, these two real men, these great men of God. And they cared so much about God and returning the people to him. And they had their own eyes fixed on him, his character, his word, and God's plans. They were devoted to it. They knew it. They were an informed people. They knew God's word. It was in the depths of their heart. And they had their eyes locked on it. They had their eyes locked on his character, who he was, and how much he's already brought them through. They had their eyes locked on it. And so we see all these incredible things happen. And Isaiah, he comes in with after just miraculous things God has done. He comes in with this verse here in Isaiah 26, verse 1. And he says this in a beautiful song of salvation. He says, "Our city is strong. We are surrounded by the walls of God's salvation. Open the gates to all who are righteous. Allow the faithful to enter." And this is where he places it here. It says, "You will keep in perfect peace all those who trust in you, all those whose thoughts are fixed on you." We'll pause there for a minute. This is the key verse to this whole thing. In perfect peace. In that complete fulfillment for those people of God who have relationship with him, who want to live in harmony with him, it says that all who trust him, man, I know God's character. I know his word. I'm putting my trust in that. I'm actively applying that to my life, saying, God said this. I'm putting my hope and my trust in his word. And it says here, all those whose thoughts are fixed on you. Man, we have so many thoughts in a day. We have so many thoughts about life, and it's easy for them to run away on us. It's easy for them to really change, you know, our mental state. It's really our thoughts. Man, what a battleground our thought life can be. But I love here how it's written that all those whose thoughts are fixed on you. I know this is true. I trust him. I know this is true no matter what comes, no matter what enemy we're faced with, no matter what shaking takes place, that my thoughts are fixed on the truth of God's word and who he is. Man, it's so relatable and impactful. The same thing today for us. Verse 4, it says, "The trust in the Lord always, for the Lord God is the eternal rock. He humbles the proud and brings down the arrogant city. He brings it down to the dust. The poor and oppressed trample it underfoot, and the needy walk all over it. But for those who are righteous, the way is not steep and rough. You are a God who does what is right, and you smooth out the path ahead of them." And this is so key for us in verse 8. "Lord, we show our trust in you by obeying your laws, by obeying your word, by following you with our whole hearts." And it says that our heart's desire is to glorify your name. Man, our heart's desire is just to look at what God has done. Look at how awesome he is. Look what he's done in my life, man. It's my heart's desire to let people know that, to proclaim that. And the second part of that verse here, it says that in the night I search for you, and in the morning I earnestly seek you. Man, what a beautiful thing that is for all of us. It says that, you know, how many of us are at night, we're searching for God? How many of us are searching for God? In the morning, how many of us are earnestly seeking Him? Man, it's so easy to just wake up, flip open the phone, start scrolling, look at our emails, all that stuff, thinking about the million things that we have to do today, and we have no peace. We have no peace right off the bat. But for those in the morning who earnestly seek Him, man, there you will find peace. There you will find Him. Let me tell you something tonight, you guys. No matter what you're going through, God is waiting to hear from you. He's waiting for you to approach Him in that genuine, sincere way. And no matter what you're going through, God is going to speak to you. He's speaking through His word to each of us when we're in it. He has a song for you. You know, it's so crazy. There's been so many moments in my life, just like in Isaiah here, they wrote that. It was a song in in chapter 26. And just chaos around you. Hopelessness around you, and God can still give you a song in that situation. Man, it's happened to me countless times, and man, I can attest to it, and I will keep praising Him for all that He's done. You know, worship is an incredible way to fix your eyes on Jesus. It truly is. Whatever the situation you're in, whatever pit or darkness or hopelessness, when the last thing you feel like you want to do is worship, man, that's the time to worship. That worship is like a spiritual weapon in that way, to give praise to the God of all creation who gives breath to every living thing. Man, it's an awesome thing. Isaiah 26 there, it talks about being steadfast, keeping in perfect peace, whose eyes are fixed on you. You know, it's the big picture stuff. It's no matter what happens, our eyes are on Him, and we trust Him with our whole hearts. And one thing that's so interesting to me is, man, I'm always humbled when I'm around people of faith. I'm always humbled when I'm around people of faith, and they just are so open with what God's doing in their life. They say, you know what, God moved us here. You know, God is doing this in me. And man, I'm always just humbled by that, to see how steadfast they are in their faith. It's always inspiring to me. And faith and peace are so closely wrapped up together, that we have a true and genuine faith in God. Our eyes fixed on Him in every season, every situation. And it's so key to our lives. As we wind down a little bit, Jesus Himself, He exemplified this in such an awesome way. Jesus walked this earth, and man, there were times with a lot of conflict. There was times of just like being overwhelmed in a lot of these circumstances, being part of so many crowds and people around Him. And He knew how important it was to get away from it all. He knew how important it was to get up early in the morning when everybody was still sleeping and go and get alone with the Father. He made sure daily to start this way. And it wasn't by accident. It was an example to all of us who follow Him. That is the key to navigating all through our lives and all the conflict and all that stuff. It's the key. And finally, tonight, We've spoken about having a right relationship with God and harmony with God, walking with Him in all seasons and situations. And lastly, we have reconciliation with God leads us to peace. Reconciliation with God leads us to peace. To reconcile, it means to take two things that are different and make them into one. It means to take two differences and make them into one. And Christ came so that a lost and hopeless world, broken by sin, would be made whole and filled with hope, peace, love, and joy. He came to reconcile the world to Himself, that this earth would take on His character and the character of the kingdom of heaven, that those sitting in darkness would see a great light. Charles Wesley, the great theologian, put it to song, and he wrote these wonderful words that so many of us know. He said, "Hark, the herald angels sing, glory to the newborn king, peace on earth and mercy mild, God and sinners reconciled. Joyful, all ye nations, rise, join the triumph of the skies, with angelic hosts proclaim, Christ is born in Bethlehem. Hail the heavenly Prince of Peace, hail the Son of Righteousness, light and life to all he brings, rising with healing in his wings. Mild he lays his glory by, born that man may no more die, born to raise the sons of earth, born to give them a second birth. Jesus Christ came here to reconcile the world back to him. A relationship broken, a harmony broken, he came for reconciliation. And this so wonderfully leads us to communion tonight. Why do we do communion? We do communion to remember what Christ has done for us, to remember his sacrifice, to remember that we are washed and saved by the shedding of his blood, to remember that always when we do communion, that there needs to be a time of self-examination. There needs to be a moment where we come before the Lord in that way and examine ourselves before him. When we consider if there's anything outstanding between us, where we're at with him, what's outstanding in our lives, so that we can continue in right relationship with him. It's a beautiful thing. So we can continue in that peace. Is there distance between you and God tonight? We're going to take a moment and do that this evening. I picked a song that's really significant to me. And as we hand out the elements tonight, would you take that moment and sit before the Lord and consider all this? Please, and we'll check it out together here. And I hope you experience that peace with him, this season especially. I hope that you can rest in the one who told the storm to be still. I hope that you know that shalom peace, that deep, lasting, fulfilling peace. When Jesus sat with his disciples, he took the bread and he broke it and he handed it out and he said, this is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me. In the same way, he took the cup with his disciples and he said that this represents my blood. It is a new covenant between God and his people. It is poured out as a sacrifice to forgive the sins of many. This forgiveness, this reconciliation, this is harmony, this is relationship. Let's do that in remembrance of him. Father God, we just come before you tonight in humility, Lord, knowing that you are Lord of all. We thank you, Jesus, for coming to this world that was dark and lost, and you brought light and life to this earth. Jesus, you're still doing that today. And I pray that every person here comes to know that in their own personal way between you, Father, that they would turn to you, that they would look at their relationship with you, Father, look at the peace in their life, look at the cracks, the gaps, Father. God, I ask that you would come into their lives and make them whole. I ask that you would touch every heart and mind in this place, Father. God, for those of us who have, there's distance between us, God. There isn't harmony with us. We're out of step with you, Father. God, would you get us back to that place, Lord? Would we turn to you? Would we repent from the direction we've been heading and come back to you, Father? Would we get back in that harmony with you, Jesus? And God, I thank you that you are a God of reconciliation, that no matter how far we've drifted, no matter what's happened in our life, Father, that you always receive us with open arms and a kiss, Father. Thank you, God, that you love us so much, and we just thank you for this time. In Jesus' name, amen.